You're listening to Simpler One Earth Living from Jubilee One Earth Economics and Simple Living Works. This is episode 96 of the Common Good Podcast with co-hosts Lee Van Ham and Jerry Iverson. Today we feature a conversation with Bonnie Tarwater, pastor of the recently formed Church for Our Common Home. We'll talk with her about her innovations in shaping a congregation according to more earth-based ways of thinking.
In the new story of One Earth Living, religion and science are in a whole new relationship, pursuing a mutual goal. What's the goal? Well, it's living with all beings in an interdependent relationship that sustains life, that reverses climate change, and that breaks through to new social and economic systems. Now, how is this affecting houses of worship, faith communities of all stripes? It's the pursuit of this new interconnection between spirituality and science that led to the interview of this podcast. Glad you're listening.
Greetings, Lee, from Sioux City, Iowa, and Simple Living Works.
I greet you, Jerry, from San Diego, and Jubilee Economics. I want to say, Jerry, that for everyone intent on living within the capacities of Earth, our common planetary home, Earth Day is a highly important day. Our podcast today is a fitting sequel to Earth Day 2018, which was this past April 22. It was a special weekend for Juanita and me. Juanita's my spouse. Let me tell you why that's true. On Saturday of that weekend, Juanita and I heard two renowned people, a climate scientist and a theologian, and they were sharing the same platform. They described how science and religion were joining together in a whole new story for One Earth Living. The scientist, Virabhadran Ramanathan, a distinguished professor at Scripps Institute of Oceanography at University of California, San Diego, and he's also the UNESCO professor of climate and policy at the Terry University, New Delhi, India. In 1975, Ramanathan discovered the greenhouse effect of halocarbons. So that was the spokesperson for science. And then on the platform as well was theologian John Cobb, a scholar in the field of process philosophy and process theology. He's the author of more than 50 books. He's described as one of the most significant theologians of the past century. And he's a member of the American Academy of Arts and Sciences. He's been a major influence in the ecologic movement in China. In 2015, at age 90, he was the architect of a major world conference with Claremont School of Theology called Seizing an Alternative Toward an Ecologic Civilization. I was able to attend that conference and heard many of those speakers. It was truly an extraordinary event. Also at that event was Bonnie Tarwater, and she's the architect of this Earth Day event that I just described. She's also the innovative pastor of the Church for Our Common Home. So on Sunday morning of that weekend, Juanita and I went to this house church congregation. It's only been formed in the last couple of years. John Cobb gave a fascinating homily in the backyard that morning. His homily was entitled God's Call to Earthism, a provocative conclusion to what I consider to be a great Earth Day weekend. It was a very inclusive weekend. It included Buddhists, Christians, Sikhs, among various religious traditions. That story, then, is the background for this podcast. The Church for Our Common Home takes its name from Pope Francis's encyclical, Laudato Si, which has the ecological subtitle, On Care for Our Common Home. Well, a lot of the rest of the story comes out in the interview conversation that I recently had with Bonnie, so let's go to that conversation now. Today I want to welcome a brand new guest to the Common Good Podcast. So welcome to Bonnie Tarwater.
Thank you, Lee. It's so nice to be with you.
Okay. So Bonnie and I've known Bonnie from a bit of a distance, actually, for a number of years, and more recently had a chance to get a little more acquainted with what she's doing. And so I'm at the stage of seeing some of what she's been bringing together in her ministry. She's an ordained minister, and it looks to me, and she's going to have to verify this, but it looks to me like it's very much oriented toward like the Pope's ecological encyclical, Laudato Si, and which is about taking care of our common home. So this church is called the Church of Our Common Home, and I'm completely intrigued and have attended a couple of times. It's a house church. But let's just start right there, Bonnie, and we'll fill in the backstory as we talk. How did you come, you and Walt, I think, your husband, mm-hmm. how did you come to the place of saying we're going to start the Church of Our Common Home?
Well, thank you for asking. It's been a while. There were several influences and things that came together. You're right in noticing that the name Church for Our Common Home is a direct quote from the Pope's encyclical.
Okay.
And I worked on an ecology conference with Dr. Cobb, who is a major environmentalist. And
yeah, okay, so let's introduce Dr. Cobb that you refer to and you and I both know, but
yes.
let's clarify that.
Well, John is 93 years old. He actually had retired from Claremont School of Theology before I became a student there, but he is the most active, engaging he's an extraordinary human being. So his retirement has made me exhausted to watch. He's been so active. But he invited me to be a part of an ecology conference I know you attended, Lee, Seizing an Alternative. And I participated in the planning committee and ran a track, an Anima Mundi. And it was there that I really got the message that we are on a catastrophic course as a human family. And that was not news to me, but I think it's interesting our psyches. I understood it at one intellectual level. And at that conference, it really seeped into my bone marrow, the profundity of what this meant. And I was very aware of my own denial that I had known about it intellectually, but I hadn't really experienced the profound grief and shock of what this really means for all of us. So it was really that experience. And also it was, I think, an accumulation of having worked as a parish minister for almost 20 years and being very disenchanted with the institutional church.
Yeah, stop just a moment. Stop just a moment, because this conference we're talking about, Pando Populus was the image and Seizing the Alternative was the name. And what, we had over 1,000 people, was it? Mm-hmm. I don't know how much more than that.
2,000, I think.
2,000 people. And when did this happen?
This was about 3 years ago. I'm very bad at dates.
Okay.
It was an international conference. There were a lot of people that are very big in the environmental field. Bill McKibben, Vandana Shiva, Sherry Lau, who is a major environmentalist from China. So it was an international conference and very interdisciplinary, or as John says, transdisciplinary. Mm-hmm. So there were, it was a wonderful intersection of people. I think you were there, so you know. It was really the inspiration and the devastation of my feeling from that experience that catapulted me to say, I really need to dedicate the rest of my life's work and my ministry to the earth.
Wow. Excuse me. Bonnie and I are kind of waving a microphone back and forth to each other, sharing the same one. Okay, and then I know I'm interrupting the flow of your story, but thank you for that clarification, because Pando Populus, or the Seizing the Alternative event, was for me also, it's like I caught myself saying, every hour I feel like something inside of me is changing. Mm-hmm. And it was truly a powerful, mm-hmm. powerful time. So, okay, so that was a major influence,
yes.
in how that deeply mm-hmm. stirred, got inside of you. I mean, it took that journey from your mind and concept mm-hmm. into your heart and soul and your visceral body. Wow. Okay. And then you're going to give a little more backstory of how you were part of institutional religion in churches over time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did not grow up in any kind of institutional religion. And it was really through a personal crisis and a lot of misery that took me on a religious search, which happened to end up by my going to seminary. It's the last thing I would have expected in a million years, or any of my friends or family were shocked. I'm still shocked to this day. It's odd how life takes us down different roads. But at any rate, I actually went to seminary as a Unitarian Universalist, and I came out converted to Christianity. And I had never studied the teachings of Jesus. Mm. Of course, because I grew up in a Western culture, I knew about Christmas and Easter and some of these stories. But I was profoundly changed by not just the teachings of Jesus, but the gift of theology, which is the study of God. I had never studied. I had never prayed to God. I'd never thought about God. I'd never asked God for help. I'd never given thanks to God. And this profoundly changed me. So I am kind of an obnoxious convert.
Okay. And just to say, too, my understanding is that among Unitarian Universalists, there's quite a spectrum, including some who would also identify as Christian. But for you, it felt like a conversion into a different kind of a different path.
Yes. I don't know any Christian Unitarian Universalists.
Okay.
There are very, very few.
Okay.
So I really am very, you know, very different than the tradition. And that's a whole conversation in itself. But I began in Unitarian Universalist churches, and then it soon became evident that the United Church of Christ would be a better place for me. I could talk about God. I could preach the gospel, and couldn't do that in UU churches. So I, you know, had dual standing. I started serving United Church of Christ churches, and I was way too liberal for those churches and way too Christian for the UU churches. So it has been a journey for me to discern that this new entrepreneurial ministry of community ministry, which I'm doing with a home church and a counseling center, really does fit for someone like me who doesn't really fit in.
Okay, and you mentioned home church, counseling center. Okay, got to say more about that.
Well, I was going to share, too, my tract at Seizing an Alternative was Anima Mundi, the soul of the world. And I've done a lot of dream work as spiritual practice for a number of years. And I had a major dream after Seizing an Alternative, and it was this huge snake, and I was bitten, and at any rate, it had a very large impact on me. So I really did feel that the earth was speaking to me, and maybe in another incarnation, I would say God was speaking to me. I think it's the same thing. I think that there is many ways in which nature and God speak to us. Or rather, a better way to say this, you know, nonverbal, is trying desperately to communicate with us. So I really felt that I was being called by God, but by the planet, by the earth, by to wake up, to take my authority. I was bitten on my index finger as an ordained minister, and use that to teach and preach and heal about the catastrophe, but also this catastrophe, just like in any personal catastrophe, is a deep invitation for us to have a raising of consciousness and an awakening as a human species. So it's not just bad news, it's the good news, just like I had personally when I went searching for answers, when I had great personal misery and went to seminary to try to understand misery and how I could get myself out. So I see it all as we need community to withstand and to celebrate the joys and sorrows of life. And we also need much deeper kinds of practices than churches have been offering traditionally. And I think a counseling center is a place where we offer dream groups, We are, you know, talk about the body, mind, spirit, emotions, the earth. So it's both a non-traditional church and it's a non-traditional counseling center.
Okay.
I am not a licensed counselor. I'm a pastoral counselor, a spiritual director.
Mm-hmm.
My husband is a marriage and family therapist. And the two of us, I think, he is studied and taught Tibetan Buddhism. And I'm a very interfaith Christian, but I do really feel that people need to be grounded in a faith that offers practices, passages. So I'm very interested in all the wisdom traditions because it's really been the problem of the Enlightenment or our atheistic scientific age that has left God and the sacred out, that I think is the major problem we have right now.
Okay, now, how long is your house church and counseling center? You know, what? Give us a little time frame for how long this is been. Because you've given this shape recently.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's new. So it's about 3 years old that we began conversation. And we have had worship services for about 2.5 years. My husband has been in practice for 35 years, so this isn't new to him. But our working together to create a counseling center is new. So
okay,
just a couple years.
Okay, and when you mentioned spiritual direction, are you certified as a spiritual director, or it's something that you've just kind of picked up but don't have certification for? Not that that's a big deal, but let's just clarify that.
No, I'm not certified. I actually was in a program and did all the reading for it,
okay,
and got a called to serve a church, so I feel kind of I'm legitimate,
okay,
in that sense.
Okay, now, and I've only been to one of the Church of Our Common Home services. Two, because I was there on Earth Day weekend. Oh, my goodness. There we said a magic word. Bonnie did a most amazing thing this year. It wasn't just Bonnie. It was a whole team of people. But Bonnie really was, the lead person in pulling together what was for me, and I think perhaps Juanita too, my wife, the most extraordinary Earth Day weekend that we have had. I would like you to say something about that weekend.
Mm-hmm. Well, my teacher and mentor has been John Cobb. He's my friend. I still can't understand how it's possible that mm-hmm. somebody mm-hmm. who is as renowned and brilliant as he is, he's like my girlfriend. We chitter chatter all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He's really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, I think it's because he's so smart that I, and other people that I have encountered at Claremont and in the Christian tradition, that I could break through my prejudices of Christianity.
Mm.
Because he's also one of the most loving people I've known.
Mm-hmm.
So that is almost more important to me. It makes his being very smart almost acceptable to me. I have some biases against people who are very rational and live in the brain is so much of what our problem is as a human family. But he is a very unusual person in that he is very loving as well as very brilliant and has shown tremendous leadership in this area of the environment. I really wanted, he is 93, I'm sure he'll live, over 100, but I really wanted to bring him to San Diego because
mm-hmm.
he had not been here
mm-hmm.
In a major way in recent times. And it was, has been on our advisory board. I printed out an email that I sent. I said, this home church was really maybe a really bad idea. You know, I need to hear from you. What do you think? And he wrote back. He can be very succinct. Beginning a church was a good idea, John. And I printed that email out and I have it on my altar. So he's been very encouraging to me. And so this was a way to honor him in both our home church for a common home, and to bring him, it just turned out it was really a beautiful weekend that he was available, was to be able to have him come and teach us on Earth Day.
We'll return momentarily to our conversation with Bonnie Tarwater on shifting congregations and religious traditions to earth-based ways of thinking and acting. We're glad to announce that the June mid-month bonus podcast features Bill Ryerson, president of the Population Institute and a fellow at the Post-Carbon Institute. That podcast will address the incredibly important topic of human population growth. And have you listened to our recent podcasts? In April and May, we hosted economist Susan Taylor of Just Financial Advisors in a three-part series on her new book, What About Our Money? A Faith Response. Do listen. You're sure to pick up thoughts you'll value, as we did in making those episodes. One more thing. Please subscribe to my Simpler Living Daily Nudge to get quick reminders of Lee's blogs, the Common Good podcast, Simple Living Works podcast, and other intriguing happenings and events, such as Non-Conform Freely celebrations, that is, ways to honor rites of passage and holidays without consumerism. Now let's return to our conversation with Bonnie Tarwater for more on her work to create a congregation in love with Earth, our home, and in love with God and all beings.
And then there was a counterpart to John Cobb, who also did a wonderful job in a weekend where you were bringing back together religion and science. I say bringing it back together because ever since the Enlightenment, really, this was a dualistic thing that happened. Mm-hmm. And so here we are in a new story, an Earth story that is truly emerging, and many of us are getting better and better at telling it. And in that story, religion and science are finding a whole new unity, that they're kind of a polarity that, like in a good ever ready battery, where there's the positive and the negative that come together in great energy. Yeah. So anyway, tell us.
Via positiva, yes. Yes.
Okay. Tell us about the scientist,
yes.
So to speak.
Oh, Dr. Ramanathan is a wonderful man. He is a preeminent climate scientist here locally at Scripps Oceanography, and he has been an advisor to the last three popes. Mm-hmm. So he was a natural person to come and be in conversation with John Cobb. I have to say, in retrospect, I think part of my motivation that I don't think I was aware of at the time is that I am just coming back into the Unitarian Universalist community because I've been serving United Church of Christ churches. And I think, quite frankly, I had to do something really smart to sort of prove my keep, mm-hmm. to come back into the smart fold. And that part really bores me. It really does. So I almost feel sorry that I felt that obligation to do something so intelligent, because I also was true to myself in saying, let's make it intergenerational. Mm-hmm. Let's try to connect the head and the heart. Let's try to infuse it with art and some aesthetics, which to me are so much more important than asking smart people how we're going to solve this problem, because frankly, I don't think they will ever be able to give us answers to that question, Lee. I think it's something much more profound that has to happen within our own psyches and within our own communities. Mm-hmm. And it's turning off the brain, in fact, is going to be the order of the day very often, to get in touch with our bodies, our souls, our spirits, in order to be able to commune with the earth.
So completely agree with you, and I also need to confess. Anyway, in transparency, this is my own spiritual path as a person who has valued the head excessively, and so I wrote this book, From Egos to Eden. I might as well give a plug for it here, not because I'm particularly plugging the book as much as I want to say that was in many ways, for me, it was a kind of telling of my story of how I was bringing head and heart and gut together in new ways, and I was doing 2.5 years of psychotherapy while I was writing it to help me do this thing. But this is just by way also of affirming what you're saying. You know, I mean, I think, you know, it isn't going to come from the intellectuals, as important as they are. They have a contribution to make. But also, ultimately, I think the deepest change, as history shows us, comes from the bottom up. It comes from people who live closest to the earth and are just in touch with a wisdom that transcends most of many of the silo types of wisdoms that we have.
Yes. Well, our Lexia Divina and our scripture for our Sunday service is actually from Thomas Berry, and he is very eloquent about the universe as a celebratory event. I think this is why we have really tried to focus on dancing, on music, on aesthetics, on things that create celebration. And this is why I really am committed as a minister to do worship and to do celebration and to provide sacred space to mourn. And it's very hard sell, Lee. You know, we are so brainwashed. Oh, there's a beautiful hummingbird. Came to speak with us. not value these things that are often associated with the feminine, but obviously I think that can be so dualistic, you know, feminine and masculine, but all those things, a better way to say it is all those things that have been left out. Actually, our first name of our church was Church of Mary Magdalene for a short time. And she, I think, is an archetype of that which was left out of Christianity. And this is very significant because I didn't have a religious education. I really don't feel I understood Western civilization, because you cannot understand the history of what's happened in the West unless you understand the church.
Well, I just want to say that Bonnie, this isn't going to be our last conversation. There ain't no way this is going to end here. But anyway, just because we are going to have to end in not too many minutes, I want to visit just a little more with you. This thing of, you know, you've interfaced with educational institutions, and you've done it with a man named John Cobb, who's also highly critical of higher education. Even though he's been, that's been his vocational path. Then also to say, you know, you've been participating, weaving your way through ecclesiastical institutions. And so we have all of these institutions and you mentioned the words Western civilization. Western civilization has really put its stamp and constrictions on these kinds of institutions. And you and your spouse are pushing through, seeking alternatives. You're using your imagination, as I see it. I'm putting words perhaps in your mouth here, so I'm going to give you a chance to correct this. But to push through to new structures, to break through, to see what is being actually given to us, to open our eyes and our hearts to see what is already being acted out, say, in nature and in the earth, of ways that's being given to us to do what civilization hasn't done very well, at least Western civilization. How do you think about all of that going on? That seems to me like this is part of your journey, this pushing through, this breaking through.
Well, I also think it's being a woman in this culture who's had a feminist consciousness raising, and We talked earlier that your wife takes care of her grandchildren, and I feel so honored to be spending 3 days a week right now with my granddaughter, who's so precious, 16 months old. But all those ways that, you know, Mary Magdalene, for example, was left out, this is very archetypal. You know, we didn't just leave her out. She really was, I believe, Jesus's equal and partner. But and teacher. I love Cynthia Bourgeau, says, well, where did Jesus get all of these ideas about this radical love? Mm. Could he have gotten them from Mary Magdalene? It's a great question.
Yes.
And at any rate, so it's all those things that have been left out.
Mm-hmm.
And women have been left out. Mm. Children have been left out. Mm-hmm. It's so profound that these children in Florida have been the leaders in this violence in our country. So I think we need to be making new relationships with untraditional partners, be they children, be they artists, be they... and we really need to rewrite a new religious story for our time. And I don't mean write in this sense. We need to create and express it. It's happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt that we are going to have nuclear catastrophe. We're going to have ecologic catastrophe, that we are going to, you know, be millions and maybe billions of people will be wiped out. Right now, as you know, Lee, we have every 5 minutes, there's an acre in the Amazon that is dying. It's, you know, all of the species. This is an incredible time of devastation. Mm-hmm. And we need to have feelings about this. We're so cut off from both the devastation, but also we're still here. You know, my son had a child. She's a healthy baby who's learning to talk. These miracles are happening amidst the catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
And this is profound.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we need to be in community that can really both celebrate and mourn together.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Robert Jensen, the journalist at the University of Texas in Austin, has written a little book. He's also a person of faith. I don't know if you know Robert at all. And he has written a little book called We All Need to Be Apocalyptists Now. Mm-hmm. And he goes on to talk about, he said, apocalypticism, when it's truly understood as a literary genre, is not only about breaking down, which is what in the popular meaning of the word apocalypse is always about, breaking down. He said, it's always a breaking down that allows for a breaking through.
Yes.
The breaking through isn't just from our side, but it breaks through to us, because
yes,
what breaks down that is preventing that breakthrough,
yes,
when it breaks down, it breaks through to us. So, I mean, it gives me shivers to,
yes,
think about that kind of stuff, and,
yes,
and for us to be on a spiritual path, mm-hmm, where that becomes something we can live with. So I think that's what I'm hearing you say in part.
Yes, thank you. It's very eloquent. I want to read this book.
You
know, I've talked to people who are having a, quote, mental breakdown.
Yes, yes.
And I've said, I think this is a mental breakthrough.
Absolutely.
Right. So,
yeah,
that is the great wisdom, of course, of the cross. That,
yeah,
that's why that symbol has lasted, because we have the death, birth, and rebirth cycle,
mm-hmm,
is what nature does.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God does,
mm-hmm,
is another way of saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And, we can trust in that.
Mm-hmm.
So I am no longer living in fear of the catastrophe that I know will be coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a major change,
mm-hmm,
for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I really want to be able to help facilitate other people's facing the catastrophe,
mm-hmm,
and being able to give up our fear, which,
mm-hmm,
is actually the most quoted statement in the Bible, is,
mm-hmm,
fear not.
Fear
so
not.
It is a deep spiritual practice,
mm-hmm,
to be awake, to see how,
mm-hmm,
horrific it is, but to also celebrate,
mm-hmm,
the miracle of how beautiful and awesome it is.
I think so. No, I mean, a huge language of the superpowers worldwide is, oh, we gotta look at security. There's so much to be afraid of. And the words of the angels are always, mm-hmm, fear not,
yeah,
fear not,
mm-hmm,
behold, look, just open your eyes, look what's coming your way. Okay, we're going to come to that place in this conversation where we're going to put a semicolon and we're going to have to stop. I mean, there's things I want to talk with you about, Bonnie, about. Okay, so you mentioned the cross and its relevance today. At the same time, the church has probably emphasized the cross to at the great expense of really talking about the paradise of the planet. Mm-hmm. And that's costing us dearly to have a theology that's so incomplete and a consciousness that's so incomplete. So that's a conversation you and I are going to get into okay?
Yes.
But we don't have time in this podcast. So in this podcast conversation, I'm going to give you a chance just to say, you know, where do you feel yourself being kind of tugged? What's breaking through for you? And that's what we'll end with.
Well, I couldn't help but think of the title of the beautiful book about saving paradise,
mm-hmm.
Where this idea of the cross, there was no artwork and no theology of the cross until 1,000 years after Jesus. And of course, the atonement was such a bad idea. It didn't come until that, you know, then too. So yes, I think we are here to save paradise.
Mm-hmm. And paradise wants to be saved.
Yes.
You know, you mentioned the hummingbird here. I'm just believing more and more that species are trying to talk with us.
They
are just coming into our lives.
They are, and in our dreams.
So wait, you've got to say that on mic because you're saying it off mic.
They are. The dream work that I do is so profound because, yes, as much as we want to talk to the earth or God, God and the earth want to speak and communicate and be in communion with us. So I'm so excited. We are beginning to have the second service every Sunday. We always worship at 5 p.m. at Torrey Pines State Park Beach. We've been doing that, and we've decided it's so profound that we will do it regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And can I just tell you a short Easter story? Not this year, but last year, I did a whole service on whales, and it's so upsetting how they're dying, and we're torturing them with these loud noises, and their eardrums explode, and it's a torturous way to die. So I had been reading about this and was dedicated the service to the whales,
mm-hmm.
and it turned out that a dead whale had beached on the same place on the beach, the very place where we worshipped and had an Easter Sunday. And, you know, Carl Jung talks about synchronicity, and there have been so many synchronicities in the in this church that I just will keep honoring that. And I think any way I can support others to honor those messages and those wisdoms and those synchronicities, I think that's what we as spiritual and religious people need to be doing at this time.
Wow. Okay. So, I'm not even going to have a chance to tell you today about the night a bison in Yellowstone Park came and laid down beside our tent and snored with Juanita and me during the night. And, you know, you're supposed to stay away from these bison, but when they come to you, they're clearly trying to come into your consciousness and your awareness. So anyway, we're going to stop today, folks, but look up Church of Our Common Home on a website. If you live in the San Diego region, plan to visit at some point and become a part of this new story that's emerging on how we think about our new home scientifically, theologically, spiritually, and you know, just in every way. Thank you, Bonnie, for being part of the Common Good podcast today.
Thank you, Lee, and thank you for all the ministry and the work that you do for the earth. I thank you.
You've been listening to part two of our conversation with Bonnie Tarwater on the importance of getting faith communities to make Earth, our common home, part of their core thought and practice. Would you make a donation to the Common Good podcast? Just click on the donate button on the Casa Jubileo website. That's CASAJUBILEO.org. Casa Jubileo. Jubilee is a mostly volunteer 501c3 nonprofit organization, so your donations are tax deductible. Donate $50 or more all at once or in quarterly payments and receive upon request an autographed copy of Lee's book, From Egos to Eden, Our Heroic Journey to Keep Earth Livable, released in 2017. By donating, you'll know that in this time of crisis, you're making a difference.
I'll be traveling some. Just want to give you an update for listeners who might be in the areas of Chicago, Omaha, Lincoln. On June 26, I'll be flying to Chicago, and I'll be in the western suburbs for a couple of days. Then I'll be going on to Omaha on July the 1st and on to Lincoln for July 2nd and 3rd before returning back to San Diego. If any of you listening are in those areas, give me an email at lee@jubilee-economics.org and I'll give you details on where we might connect. I'd love to connect with you if you're in those areas during the time that I'm there. So let me know.
Please give us your thoughts on these subjects. Leave a message on the Common Good podcast and Simple Living Works Facebook pages. Well, time to wrap up this episode. If you're a regular listener, you've heard our closing comments, so we'll say goodbye now. If you're a newer listener, here's what we'd like you to know about the podcast. Please subscribe to Jubilee Economics, One Earth, and Simple Living Works blogs. We post new nearly every week. So if you're a subscriber, you will be told when we post something new. Subscriptions are free. Subscribe to our blogs through our websites. You can also subscribe to the Common Good Podcast and Simple Living Works podcasts at iTunes or your favorite podcast service. Urge your friends to do the same. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works with co-host Lee Van Ham of the Common Good Podcast, wishing you well as we strive together to bring simpler One Earth living into being for the common good.